Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio, where today is Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, today is a day when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, where you will receive biblical teachings from pastors, ministers, women of God, men of God, as well as from myself, Jeanette Abney, a licensed marriage and family therapist. Now, this topic today is one where therapy could definitely be very much needed, very much necessary. And sometimes in the church, we think about pastoral counseling, but then also, how do we even address this topic or even discuss this topic with members within our congregation, with the pastors, with individuals that even may be sitting on a deacon board, because this is one of those what you call hot topic. Now, today's show is not designed to throw nobody up under the bus. It's not designed to make people feel ashamed, but it's basically giving individuals information and tools, even within the church, of how do you address this, because this is happening no matter what nobody say. I know even as a child, I was sharing with others that I had a thing with the church because I used to tell people I was afraid of pastors because my mother got pregnant by a pastor. So I was like, ooh, this is so not good, especially when she was dealing with marital problems. So that brings up addressing adultery in the church, and I want to give honor to God and for blessing me this morning and waking me up. Now, when it comes to relationships, especially for church members, how should adultery even be addressed, which is the reason and the focus of this topic? This is a subject that many pastors, as well as others, often appear to try to avoid for many reasons. Even though we avoid it, even though we sweep it up under the rug, it doesn't mean that it is not worth having a conversation about. Because adultery not only affects the individuals that are involved in it, it also impacts the lives of others, including the church members and the whole congregation. Often, individuals realize that one cannot say who should be together or how should they should live their lives, even if they're trying to do so in privacy. However, what does the Bible say about adultery? So, let me log on my first guest. Good morning. How are you doing? This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Today? How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. I just had to come in at the last minute, and I was trying to do a drug test, and I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go. I got to get this done, you know. So I was able to get it done. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And we go get this show going. I'm waiting on our men of God to call in. So I'm sending them text messages because I know this is what you call a hot topic that a lot of individuals are afraid to address. And I was even having pastors contact me on Messenger and getting feedback from them. So, you know, this is very worth something that needs to be mentioned and spoke about. Now, when we talk about addressing adultery in the church, and we're talking about addressing it, you know I like calling you Lady T. But Lady T, tell the listeners who you are, and we're going to dive into this topic.
Oh, well, like you call me, Lady T.
You know, they call you all kind of stuff, but you, I call you Lady T.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, we can leave it just like that.
Okay. So you just Miss Lady T. And it's funny when we say Lady T,
that's
I think
right.
of Tina Marie. You know, because Tina Marie was the original Lady T from the song, you know, but and she had this thing going on with Rick James, and we didn't know what that was about. Now let's say that Lady T or Tina Marie and Rick James was in the church and they was committing adultery. How would the church handle that?
Well, it just depends. Some people like to sweep things under the rug and act like they don't know. And some people condone it. Some people might say something, but not directly to the person. And but they'll mm-hmm. talk behind their back, which if it's going on, you should address it in the church. I just feel like if that's going on, they shouldn't be in no leadership position.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you come to church, that's where you're coming. The church is for you to come and get healed, delivered, and set free from your sins, right? So mm-hmm. if you come and sit in the pews and you're coming and then, you know, the word, you know, touch your heart and then you change your way, great. But to come and to be in leadership, to be up before the people preaching and singing and teaching and all that, no. I don't think you should mm-hmm. be up there living in sin. No.
Okay. Now, when you're talking about the position that you're talking about and living in sin, and I hear where you're going, and it's from a person in leadership, and when we're talking about leadership is one thing, but then we also have members in the congregation that we also
right.
do the same thing. Now, I want to share something, and it's basically, I have a book, and it's called God's Promises for Your Every Need. And it talks about marriage, because we first have to understand marriage, the institution of marriage. We have to also understand the church, what that's about. And I want to say, even growing up, and I was sharing, the word adultery was not even mentioned in our home. I used to call fornication fornication. I never even knew how to pronounce the word as I was trying to read it out the Bible, because this is something that one would think that people should know about. But, Lady T, I don't think they really do. And I believe that, you know, we try to, and we go to church because we want to be fed. We want to be fed the word. We want to be fed the word of God. We want to change our lives. But sometimes it's complicated because mm-hmm. you can't give what you don't have. You can't teach what you don't know. And sometimes people say these things
right.
can be taught at home. But sometimes even in the home, we get used to our parents doing certain things. And some people think it's normal. Now, we have a caller calling in. Let me see who this person is. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious and Infamous Blog Talk Radio, number ending in 84.
Good morning.
That's
how
are you doing? That's
who?
Is
this Tony?
Rep. Johnson. Oh, this is Johnson. Thank you, Pastor Johnson. I'm glad you called in, because I think our other men were afraid to call. I'm going to have to throw them up under the bus for not calling in. They know they're supposed to call. Now, tell the listeners who you are. Reverend Johnson, and I didn't even get to tell you about this topic. Okay, they called
you
now.
You broke up. Say it again, please.
Tell the listeners who you are.
Oh, my name is Reverend Michael Johnson. I'm the Associate Minister of Greater True Fellowship Missionary Baptist Church in Los Angeles. I'm an ex-employee of yours. I retired in 2014 from 39 years of counseling. And I preached my first sermon in 1987. And I am presently teaching a new members class as well as preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Michael Johnson. I appreciate you calling in. Let me log in the next caller that's calling in. Good morning. This is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, number ending in 94. How are you doing?
Oh, good. That's Luther.
You know what? I wanted you in yesterday too, but thank you for calling today, because I got to keep I got to talk to you about something that we're doing with the homelessness. But thank
okay.
you for calling in. So tell the listeners who you are and what it is that you do.
My name is Luther Keith Jr. I'm a member of Central Baptist Church in Inglewood, California. Dr. Luther B. Keith Sr. And I'm a gang intervention specialist, and I feed the homeless 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for calling in. And when we get off the air, I'm going to call you back, because I got to share something with you too. But when we
okay.
talk about this topic, addressing adultery in the church, now here's some information I have. First of all, talking about marriage. And it reads, "And the Lord God said, it should not be good that man should live alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And that's in Genesis. Now, Michael, I'm going to ask you this question. When we talk about this in marriage and we talk about in the church, how do you think that marriage should even be addressed in the church?
Well, you just quoted out of the book of Genesis, and in the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, man and woman. And one of the significant things that some people point out is that both the man and the woman have 12 set of ribs. The number 12 is a signification of perfection. So God created perfection for the purpose of the marriage itself. And then you go a little bit further in the book of Exodus 20:14, where it talks about thou shalt not commit adultery, which means going outside of the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Now, Keith Luther, what do you want to add to that? Because I know you're also in the church, and I believe you're a minister's son, too. And growing up in church, and I know growing up in church in Compton, I know I saw a whole lot of stuff. What is your input in regards to that when we talk about marriage even in the church? Because we first got to know what marriage is before we even know what all the other stuff is. And how can we address this so that individuals have a clear understanding of what this is about?
Well, you got to be married. You don't want to be shacking, and you want to have your helpmate. I'm going to use my father and my mother as an example. They've been married for 55 years. And my mama teaches Sunday school. My daddy is the minister of the church. And you got to set an example, because how I'm going to sit out here and get somebody on the outside, stand on, you know, be on the outside, shacking, and I'm not setting an example for none of my folks. So, you got to be married. And that's what I said. But that's my point of view.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this is not really good.
Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
I love what he said, and one of the things that came to my mind when he was talking about his mom and dad, you are a role model, whether you realize it or not, because it sounds like he watched his parents, and he watched that together, like the Bible even goes further to say, that the two shall become one flesh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of us exhibit, should be exhibiting role model behavior, because I think I heard you when I just called in when you were talking about in your household, you didn't even know what it was because it wasn't spoken about. And when we grow up into a dysfunctional family, those things become normal to us. So when something comes along that is right and true, and in the light of word, it's like, wow, I'm confused. I've never heard this before. I've never seen anything like this before.
Right.
Can I say this?
Then, you know, yes. Growing up, and my mom and daddy, like I say, been married for 55 years, and then I seen some of my family members who were shacking, and I thought, and I'm like, is that his wife? Oh, that's his wife? You know, so I wasn't judging them. I'm just like, I was looking, and I say, wow, they stay together, but they're not married. And then, you know, you grow up as a little boy, you see that, and then I ain't gonna, you know, being a pastor's son, you know, I was shacking coming up, and then I had to back myself up, you know. Had kids out of wedlock. I had to go before the church and ask the church to have the Lord forgive me for having kids out of wedlock, and I was taught, you know, be careful. You know, I was being hard-headed, and I had to go before the church and apologize.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's funny, not funny, but we have to be transparent, because I know even though my mother didn't teach us about adultery and fornication and all of that stuff and was dragging us to church, I've been married multiple times. And, you know, I used to always say that I was wife material. I couldn't be your girlfriend. I can't be, because I knew, and it wasn't that I would ask people to marry me, so leave me alone, Mike, because I know you're going to go there with me. But, hey, Keith, you know who my first baby daddy was. You know I'd had no business messing with him. So,
right.
You see, I never married that one. That one I was not going to marry. You know, but even though marriage is honorable among all, and they talk about the bed be undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So it's not for people to judge, it's for God to judge. And we talk about the flesh, and we talk about, but when we start talking about adultery, adultery takes it to a whole nother level. Because I'm not to say who should be together, who shouldn't be together, you know. But the problem is this issue is so big, it destroys the lives of the families, the children, and now it gets a negative stigma on the church. And, Luther, you know us growing up in Compton, and we know I love Pastor Fisher. He passed away. But you know our idea of that when we was a kid growing up, at least I know mine. I used to be like, okay, he was a handsome man. So for men as well as women, because this is not just a man thing, it's a woman thing too. How should the church address this? Because it's not being addressed in some churches.
Well, one of the things that I've seen in the church, a lot of times they shy away from this topic and this subject. And when it involves the Ten Commandments, when you're talking about lying, cheating, homosexuality, fornication, adultery, all of those type of things, they don't want to preach that anymore because that's not popular. But the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and it's going to be the same tomorrow. God's message has not changed, but the people have changed the message. And that's one of the things of the church. Jeanette, you know I do a word called God Speak, and I do a word every morning. As a matter of fact, I addressed that last week, 2 days, talking about how we should be living our life. And then when Jesus walked this earth, when they was asked about which commandment we should follow, he said, you know what? I'm going to leave you with 2 commandments. First, love God. Number 2, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, on these 2, everything the rest. So if you love God and if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to commit an adultery. You're not going to lie. You're not going to cheat. You're not going to steal or whatever. Matter of fact, Jesus even took it a little bit further over in Matthew 5:28, where he said, even if you look upon a woman and lust, you have already committed adultery in your heart.
Oh, that's true.
That's a cold statement right there.
Yeah, yes, it is.
One of the things that's helped me as being a man, and I think my brother can attest to this, we are stimulated by what we see.
Right.
We look at the fine shape and we look how pretty they are. We might think about the other attributes later.
That's real.
The first thing we do is we look at what we see. And your mind can drift over the areas that it should not be. And one of the things when I used to teach my classes, you know, with your company, Jeanette, and even at the church, I have the 3-to-5-second rule. You have 3 to 5 seconds to arrest that thought. And Apostle Paul tells us to do what? To cast down every vain imagination that comes against the word of God. That is our job to do. And if we don't do that, then it's going to turn into something else. And then we are integrated into societies. Everything being over-sexualized, and now where you used to go to the adult theater, to the rack and the covered rack and thing, now all you got to do is click a button and you're right there. Come on now.
You can say explain this clearly. You're right.
Let me log on this caller. Then I want you to speak on that, Luther. Then we're going to have Lady T. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. This is Jeanette Abney. Number ended at 79. How are you doing?
No, I'm just listening.
Okay, just listening. Okay, Luther, now, as he was talking about that, and like he was talking about, you know, clicking on, sometimes you see people, they put on their Sunday's best, and yes, and sometimes people are attracted to that anointing. And sometimes people fall, and we say deny the flesh, and but again, addressing it. Now, when I was talking to Blackwell, which I guess he's scared to call in, so he can call in the last few minutes, but because he's also a pastor, and I wanted him to address this topic too. But when we started talking about that, and some of the things he was sharing is many times churches don't like to address it because they don't want to lose members. They don't want people to, you know, we all want to be light. We all want to talk about prosperity. We all want to, you know, make it seem like everything is great. But the adultery is letting people know something's going on in your mind, in your home, in your relationship. And another thing he was sharing was sometimes the pastors don't want to engage in marital counseling with that family. But it got to be addressed, because sometimes it's a turnoff. I don't want to go into church and I see that the pastor sleeping with so-and-so and the deacon sleeping with so-and-so and so. I'm concerned
that's real
about
talk.
That.
That's real talk. You said some real stuff. That's real. It's real. And I don't mean to cut you off. And see, my daddy, he do. I hate to say it. If your shoe fit, he gonna step on toe. He gonna let them know off the top. You know, he's letting them know about the shacking. I don't like hearing it. You know, it's sad. You know, it's sad. And he said some real stuff. Because when you see the people coming, like I be doing events, and then people be walking by. And you got to keep your mind focused, because if you don't keep your mind focused, you're going to slip and go into others. And I always got to stay prayed up, because they come in all fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect. Perfect. They come in all kind of ways. Short skirts, little, they come in, entice you, and you got to keep a strong mind, keep your mind, you know. We human, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to stay focused, and then Pops, he preach on this, you know. He don't bite no corners. He putting his foot down. He don't play.
Correct. And people will respect that. And you gotta talk about it. You gotta find where that pain is. Okay, somebody else is calling in. Let me log on this caller. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio, number ending in 87. How are you doing?
Well, good afternoon. I'm early.
Oh, now you want to call early. Okay, no problem.
Big Moo!
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
Talk to me, baby.
Oh, this hanger just got on Jeanette's station. She was trying to give me yesterday, but dealing with these wild kids around here doing this intervention, make sure these babies get home safe.
Mm-hmm.
How you been, my friend?
Who are you talking to?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Now, when we're talking about this in regard to how should the church handle adultery, because when we talk about when things are going on in the house of God, and we're talking about biblical, it's not for us to cast judgment on anyone. It's not for us to talk about people or talk about people behind their backs, because we don't know what it's like to live in their shoes. I remember one time I did a show, and my father called in before he passed, and it was why people cheat. And my father said some cheating is justified, and I started laughing. But because it wasn't that I was laughing, meaning that he was justified to do what he did to my mother and her going to the church, and when she went to the church, she got pregnant by the preacher. But by that same token, he felt like, you know, if you're doing everything you can and your home is still not happy, what are you supposed to do? And sometimes people go to the church, like Tammy said, to be healed, delivered, and set free, but sometimes we find more mess there too. So, as a pastor, Blackwell, what is the church to do?
Well, you know what the Word of God tells us to do. You know what God's Word has given us. And I believe we should live according to the Word. Bible tells us clearly in his word and the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet thy brother's wife. And we should learn how to apply God's word to our daily living. Psalms said, hide thy word in my heart, O God, that I might not sin against thee. One of the things we need to do is put God's word in front of us, that we must learn how to handle our lifestyle. Most of our lifestyle is out of control because we don't live up to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to everyone, you got to learn how to live up to his word. I know we fall, you get up, you dust yourself off. And one of the biggest issues with that is people don't believe that anybody should fall. The Bible says a righteous man falleth seven times.
Mm-hmm.
And I say all the time, and I tell people all the time, it's not about how you fall, it's about how you get up. And if when you get up, you ought to be different. You ought to be a little bit stronger. You ought to be a little bit more knowledgeable according to God's word. Yes, when we talk about adultery in the church, and I try to tell people, adultery ain't no different sin than any other
Correct.
Sin. All the sins are the same. Sin is sin. You ain't gonna go to hell for being adulterous. But there is a place for you. All of it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, oh man, that's bad. Sin is just sin. No matter
Right.
what it is. And
yeah,
all of it is to step outside the will.
Yeah, can I add this on? One of the things that we need to look at also is what it talks about in Romans the 12th chapter, where we are a living sacrifice. Crucify the flesh, being alive to God, being alive dead. It sounds like a contrary statement. But we are to kill our flesh daily, to deny our flesh daily. And that's one of the things we're not doing. And the other thing about that is it says God chastises those who he loves. You know, and nothing is hidden. Nothing can be hidden from God. So he sees and knows everything that we do. And like in the book of James, it even goes so far to say that sin is pleasurable, but only for a season. And then
yep.
after that comes
that's
what?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, I'm
going to if I love you, and Jeanette knows me well enough, if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. Because I don't wish somebody I don't like to go to hell. Because that is not a place that anybody wants to be at. You know?
Mm-hmm. Now, even though we know adultery is an ugly thing that has very little ugly consequences, because we don't realize the consequences. We know the wages of sin is death, but when we're looking at it, they don't think that the consequences are as ugly. But despite the ugliness, incredible mercy and redemption can result. But you got to come clean. You got to try to make it right, and you got to fix it. Because if we, as Christ, try to handle adultery as Jesus did, more people would be restored back to God. Because sometimes when we're talking about this fallenness, you know, I've seen, you know, shows and movies, and I was just talking to Tony last night, and we were talking about Christ's Son. And, you know, and I was mentioning Jamal Bryant and a lot of the pastors that have gotten in trouble, which we're not trying to focus on that. We just want to know, what do you do in addressing that? Now, Tammy, let's see what you got to say regarding that.
Well, it's just a lot of things are being said. I'm focusing on, you know, how it happened, like when we were first on the line together, and I was saying how it's in the church, but a lot of people feel like they can't address the pastor if it's the pastor, the one that's committing adultery, but yet he's over God's people teaching and preaching. And a lot of people feel like they can't address him or her. And that's not the case. You can go to them in love, but don't go based off what somebody told you. Go off based off facts that you have. And I have approached someone, and I have said something based off facts, based off what I saw with my own eyes. And I went to them, and I addressed it. And I asked because, you know, I don't believe you should be over God's people if that's what you're doing. You shouldn't be
Amen.
Preaching one
Amen.
Thing and living another. You don't
you
preach
go.
One
I
thing
like
and
that.
Live another because you're misleading God's people. And as a shepherd, you are responsible for the sheep.
Yes, you are.
That's just unacceptable to me because if you don't want to live holy, then sit down, go somewhere and get healed, and then come back and regroup, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
you
don't just stay up before God's people living in sin boldly.
You know, and when I mentioned those pastors' names, they came clean and they apologized. And see, and when you apologize, people will respect and honor that because nobody is perfect. We're all far from it. And when we're addressing it and people are able to say, you know what, I made a mistake, not only did I hurt others, but I hurt myself. I got caught up.
Right.
And I want to do better. that's fine because you're
right.
teaching people
yes.
to say it's going to be okay. Now, we know that many marriages have been plagued by adultery, so this ain't nothing new because, like I said, I saw it as a kid when I was growing up. And the statistics are alarming. They have some information, and it's on Christianity Today, and it says, according to the Focus on Family, an estimated one-third of men and one-quarter of women have admitted to engaging in extramarital sexual acts. And they're certain that there are even more cases than what was reported because a lot of people don't like to talk about it. But by no means are they making light of such a sensitive subject because it is very sensitive because it affects the kids. It affects, and, you know, some people are embarrassed. Some people are ashamed. When we're talking about people of leadership and authority, sometimes people don't want to be told what to do. They'll say, stay out of my business. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I got to get my needs met. But by that same token, we still have to do better. Now, with that, we've already established that adultery is a sin. We know that. But how we as the body of Christ handle it could be different, the difference between restoration and reprobation. Because we don't like Mike said, we don't want to see nobody go to hell. But in John 8:1-12, an adulterous woman was brought to Jesus by the scribes and the Pharisees for the sake of that what they're talking about, and in the church, they call them the church people. But the church people told Jesus that this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Now, Mike, I'm going to let you finish that. What happened with that with John 8:1-12?
I find it very interesting that the man was brought there. They brought the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, down scrolled something in the dirt. I have a feeling he probably might have been writing down their sins and what they did. And he said he would all sin, cast the first stone. And then another thing I found interesting, the oldest guy left first. All the way up until the younger. And then he said, where are your accusers? And her reply was, no one, Lord. And he said, glory to God, no more. And what I like about this event, Jesus never judged her. The sin was pointed out, and he had a plan for her redemption. He said, go and sin no more. And every time Jesus walked upon a person in the New Testament, that answer always had a question for him. And when the light of the word of God comes to you and shows you your sin and for you to recognize it, confess it, saying that I was wrong, and then repent from it, like we just talked a little bit about last week, and go and sin no more. Now, are we going to never, ever sin again? Of course not, because we are imperfect, because we're still in this flesh tent. But like Apostle Paul said, we strive for perfection. We strive. We chase. We go after the perfection of God's word. And one of the things that I find in the church, you know, when you talked about that earlier, is we have a tendency to judge. And when you feel like you're going to be judged, who are you going to be open with? Who are you going to be able to communicate with?
Yeah.
Because in any marriage, when something is teetering, something is faulting, there are always red flags. And I'm just speaking about us men. We are very poor communicators because we don't want to admit that something's wrong and something's bothering us because that's a sign of weakness, and we're not going to show no weakness, are we? You women, you come out already knowing how to communicate. You got us beat on
we
that.
Well, you know what, Mike? I'm going to say this. We talk, but we don't communicate very well either. And sometimes, even in the church, are we talking about not only adultery, but being equally yoked? Because if you're not equally yoked, your marriage may already be in trouble. So sometimes we got to get to the root of it. And we also have to learn how to extend mercy, because his mercy and his grace. Now, it doesn't mean that a marriage is going to be over, a marriage is going to be doomed, but I think bringing people into it make it even worse when you bring them into your problem. I remember reading a book about Steve Harvey, and Steve Harvey said the best thing you can do for a person in regards to cheating is don't cheat with them. And then that way, they can't cheat with you. It don't mean they're not going to find nobody else. But if they're not happy in their marriage and their relationship, You might want to tell that person, if you are in an adulterous affair, tell that person, go get some help. You know, because if they cheated on you, with you, if they cheat with you, they may cheat on you. And I just never understood that. Any of the other callers on the phone?
Mm-hmm. They have a term that they call, this is my work husband or this is my work wife on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of marriages that's brought into chaos because of that term, because they begin to share intimate things about themselves and about their marriage to an outsider. And that's what made me think about it when you just said what you said.
Correct. Well, that is true. We did a show on that about dating in the workplace. And because we spend a lot of time with each other, they get to know each other, and these things happen. And, you know, but that's an emotional thing, because when you indicated earlier, it's the thought of adultery, just the thought of it. You know, how do you go to your significant other and say, you know what, I'm feeling some kind of way, put the watermelon over there, show looking good, you know, and you want to make sure that you stay clean. Now, let me log Blackwell back on the record. He had lost his call, and then he's back. Blackwell?
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. So we want to make sure that we give people a way out, too, because a lot of times individuals don't know what to do when they're having these problems and these situations are occurring. And once they get caught up, they get so scared they don't know what to do. So, Pastor Blackwell, I'm going to ask you, how do they find a way out of it? How do they, you know, if a person came to you and say, you know, Pastor, I'm having these problems with my wife, and I've been messing over here with Sister so-and-so, and what advice would you even, or how would you address that in the church if the person was just clean and wanted a way out?
Well, you know you're going to have to set up a period of private counseling with him, possibly with her, possibly with the two of them together if they can handle it. And then you want to offer a way out, but you want to offer a way out, a loving way out. You don't want to admonish anyone. You want to tell them you were politely, if they were in any kind of office at the church, you would politely ask them to sit down for restorational period. You want to offer them love, tenderness, to teach them and talk to them about what they're going through. And the counseling part to me would probably be the most closest, Jeanette, that you can handle in the church with that kind of thing, because if you can get them to admit, now that's the key right there. If you can get them to admit I've done wrong, then that's the starting line for help.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the times they don't want no help. They came in with their lip turned upside down because they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want no help. They don't want to discuss no help. And, hey, I was leaving her anyway. You get all that kind of stuff. I was leaving her anyway. You just helped me out. And really, you wasn't trying to leave. You just wanted something on the side. And it just turns out a whole different manner. And you have to take it as a case-by-case thing, because everybody's different. So you're going to handle them different. And but it starts right there, meeting with them. You know, if you can meet with the both of them, not at the same time, but if you can meet with the both of them to find out what's the real issue and if they're going to tell you the truth. Now, that's key to it. That's another key to it, Jeanette. You can't help people if they're not going to tell you the truth.
That is
true. I had to meet with one family for 3 months before they finally told the truth. I mean, I'm like, we wasting time if you're not going to tell the truth. Ain't no need to keep going over the same spilled milk if you're not going to tell the truth.
Not only telling the truth, Blackwell, is when we're talking about just being with the honesty, because it could be their truth. I want to share a scenario that I knew about, and this happens in the church, and I mean, you know, and it happens in a lot of churches, which is why we're talking about this. But there were two individuals in the choir, and they both were in the choir. They used to sing together. And one lady was having some problems with her husband, and he was having an affair or whatever. And, no, I think her husband was with somebody. And so she connected with this family, and they had children, and the wife was pregnant. So when she didn't have nowhere to go, she friended the wife of the guy that was in the choir. They allowed her to move in, and when they allowed her to move in, she started messing with the other woman's husband. And then they kicked her out. And it was such a mess because the kids were so confused. And I remember telling this woman, when you have your baby, you go get your husband back. And sure enough, when that birth of that child came, and this woman, this wife was mad as heck because she was outcast, literally embarrassed to go back to the church. The pastor knew that them two in the choir were sleeping with each other, started shacking. But after she gave birth, true enough, her marriage was restored. But they had to come clean. They had to work on some issues. And I told them, I said, don't be embarrassed. You might want to go to another church where people don't know you. But I don't know if they went, if they still at the same church. But those are some of the things in regards to my interpretation of how these issues can be addressed. Whether it's a pastor, whether it's a deacon, whether it's a choir member, you know, it don't make it right, but it does affect a lot of people.
Well, scripturally, it tells us when you see a brother in a fault, what do? We go and talk to the brother or the sister.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're unwilling to listen, then you bring another person, another witness. And then if they're still not willing to listen, then you bring them before the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they still are not willing to listen, then they have to go.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean forever? No, because you could change your heart and change your ways, and you could be restored. The other thing I see a lot of churches doing, knowing that somebody's been saying that they're holding a position in the church,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very big on that because you could call somebody else to stumble. Well, if Deacon So-and-so's doing it, it must be all right, or that's my cue that I could do the same thing because the pastor ain't saying nothing about it. And that's just plain old-fashioned wrong. You
mm-hmm.
know, back in the 80s, we used to see a lot of choir directors, singers, just because they could sing good, they didn't want to get rid of them. Because why? Because they brought in crowds, represent money. That's
mm-hmm.
wrong. You know, when you get away from God's word, You're setting yourself up for failure, chaos, and turmoil in the church.
Mm-hmm. I like that. When you get away from God's word, when you stray away, because you'll be in trouble.
Yes.
You will get in trouble by straying away. Anything else you want to add to that, Lady T?
Oh, no. I'm definitely in agreement with that. It's true. You lead people astray and people think, you know, what they doing, I can do it. But also, you're in a bad position because if the pastor's doing it, he ain't going to say nothing to somebody else that's doing it because then it's going to come back on him. So
he
ain't going to correct nobody else because he's not in a position to correct nobody else. So the church is just in a mess. And the whole church is just messed up. When you go to somebody, you don't go to them to condemn them. You go to them that they may see the error in their ways and repent. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't go to talk them down and talk about them. You just say, you know, I know this is happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it happened, but because of who you claim to be, maybe you ought to rethink what you're doing and repent, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, or take some time off. Sit down for a while. You know,
correct.
And think about
and you gotta get it. You gotta get it right, mm-hmm. and get to the underlying root of that.
Right.
You know what? And like I said, this is something that has not just started. It's been going on for many, 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 many years, probably before we were even born. But it is something that definitely needs to be addressed. Something that needs to be talked about. Definitely needs to be worked on. I'm looking at something. They did a research. And this is on, it says, Christianity Today, News and Reporting. They said adultery, and this was just in 2017, Christians ranked what counts as cheating. And they ranked it because they had indicated that the Alabama governor, Robert Bentley, went far beyond what most Americans, including his evangelical supporters, considered cheating, according to the news survey. So he resigned from the administration wide effort to cover up his ongoing affair with his aide who previously attended his Sunday school class. So he resigned. But amongst the evidence against the former governor, they had logs of romantic text messages. And this is what gets me, and I mean, y'all can help me with this one. Sometimes the partner or the wife know that the man is having an affair, and she don't say nothing either. Should she say something to somebody else in the church, or should she hold that person's secret? Because I believe a lot of times they know. The other person knows.
Yeah.
Okay. When you said the partner of the adulterer, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The partner, the wife of the adulterer, knows. She's sitting in church smiling and laughing, but she knows good and well her husband is sleeping with so and so. Or the husband, I've known husbands who said their wife was going to church every Sunday, and the wife was sleeping with Deacon so and so, and the husband knew. So sometimes they keep their own
wow.
and just keep it like that too. Seen a lot of stuff like that go down. And it kind of made me wonder, you know, like, wow, what is love? Because it took me to my 50s to even have an understanding of what true love was after I saw so much mess.
Well, if the wife is sitting up there, daughter or husband is a doctor, and he preaching to God where she to me, she's obligated. She needs to say something. Because like I said, you know, when sin gets in the camp, and we can see that representation in the Old Testament, with the Israelites defeated this nation, and God says, don't take anything that was sacrificed to idols. And this mm-hmm. one family thought they're going to be slick, and they brought them items in. And when they was discovered, They killed the man, the woman, the children, the dog, everybody.
Wow.
That was back in those days. And one of the things the young lady said that she was in agreement with it. Let me tell you why I'm so starched about the Word of God and not allowing any chaos. When I was in the U.S. Army, I was assigned to go to Jonestown, Guyana, to police up those bodies. And when you understand the history of Reverend Jim Jones, he was a great speaker. He was a great orator. But little by little by little by little, he got away from that Word of God. And then finally, he pushed the Bible aside and started listening to me. And I saw the end result of what stepping away from the Bible in the darkness will do. It will destroy you.
Mhm. Now, when we talk about, like I said, adultery being addressed, you know, when you see somebody giving flirtatious text messages, sometimes now Facebook is getting people in trouble with the likes and things, and people getting mad, and sometimes people may think that there's something going on and may not be going on, but you still got to talk about it. You've got to talk about it, you know. And then, like I said, it ain't like you got to punish them or stone them and cast them into hell with a pit of demons. But in order to talk about it, address it, you got to have an open mind. Now, and when we talk about an open mind and also have an open heart and a forgiving heart. Now, like I said, and I don't think, Blackwell, that pastors tell people, well, you should be divorced, but you want to listen. I always tell individuals, I try to get them to think and listen. Because you're going to do what you want to do. But you got to think and you got to listen. Now, when we talk about, and I want to throw this thing out, because some people think in with our millennials and our culture, we think everybody's different. Now, also, when we start talking about adultery, whether it is pornography, whether it's, you know, because it can consist of a lot of different things. But we got to educate. Anybody want to speak on that?
What's your question? Educate.
How do we go about educating? Because, like I said, we can address it, but how do we educate our church? How do we bring this to our attention? Because some people have a zero tolerance, and even though they have a zero tolerance, it's still be going on.
Well, one of the things, you know, the Bible says it's as much as given, much as required. That's why a lot of people don't want to know nothing. Because, you know, when you speak on it, then you are held accountable for what you just heard the preacher say. And so, once again, you know, when preachers talk about those type of sins, when you look at, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:9, it talks about fornicators and people with these intercessions, and then over there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and then the verse ends with, those who practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no gray areas there. It's black and white. Those who practice, those who live that type of lifestyle shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And see, some people are playing a dangerous game because they will say in their heart, I'm going to do all the sin I can do and have all the fun I can have, and then when I get to the end of my life, I'm going to ask Christ in my life. God looks inside your heart. He knows. So I hope nobody's playing that game.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what, Mike? As you're saying that, I'm looking at something, and it's from Christian Headlines, and it says, are born-again Christians more likely to commit adultery? And one of the things they indicate is they found that the, and this was 2014, so I want you to know it was a while ago, the Huffington Post signed this provocative statement. You may be surprised how many born-again Christian use Ashley Madison. We have a lot of Christians, a lot of people that go on these date websites. Do you think that that is also part and added to the problem when we're talking about adultery? Is these online, these websites, these dating sites?
Well, it's just like I said earlier. Nothing is hid before the eyes of God. They think they're committing secret sin. When I'm on this website, ain't nobody going to know. God knows. You can't hide from God. Do you really think God didn't know where Adam and Eve was when he walked in the cool of the day in the garden? Did you think he was caught by surprise? He knew where it was at.
Mike, you know you just gave me a topic for next week. Secret sin. I like that.
We think it's a secret. There ain't no secret. God sees everything you do.
That's right.
And we hear all the time when them people try to erase their computers, and the FBI forensic team get to hold us. What do? They pull everything back up. Now, if you think the FBI has that capability, how much more does God? You can't hide nothing from God.
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Now, like I said, I like that topic, and we're going to talk about that one next week because that is cute. But when we talk about going back to scripture, I hear a lot of noise. Somebody got a lot of background noise going on. You know, when we talk about this, and like I said, getting back to the topic and addressing the adultery, now, I like what Tammy was talking about is even when we bring it to people's attention, we need to have people, you may need to take a sabbatical. You may need to address what's going on in your relationship, in your marriage, because it does affect anyone. And it's not a secret because people know, people are seeing it. And it hurts not only people engaged in the act, but also other people that are looking at it too. Even though they may not want to say nothing to you at the time, but it is something that definitely needs to be addressed. Because I'm looking at something, and it says, what salvation is available to those who have committed adultery? You've written unrepentant adulterers will not sit eternally in heaven. But see, a lot of times people think people don't know. You know, and it's taking me back, Mike, of going to funerals. You go to funerals, and I don't know if you guys saw Madea's funeral, the Tyler Perry's last one, when the man died, and he died in a hotel room with another woman, had a heart attack. But not only did he have a heart attack at the funeral, the church was filled with women that he had been with. Hold on, I got one more caller calling in. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, number ended in 1-3. How are you doing?
Doing as good as I always do.
You like Blackwell. You're going to give it 5 minutes. Blackwell gave it 30 minutes. But, you know, getting back to what I was talking about with that movie, the wife knew he was sleeping with all of them people. And, I mean, he had a church full of women that he had been with. Now, Mr. Tony, what do you want to say in regards to addressing adultery in the church? And thank you for calling in.
Anyone who commits adultery, you have to keep in mind that God allows that person out of that marriage. So he makes a way for them to get out of there, especially if that person do not want to repent. So if that person keeps going back to whatever their lover is, I strongly suggest that the person that they married to consider and take God's instruction on allowing you out of that marriage if that person is not going to stop doing that. Because here's what you said, something I was listening about what Steve Harvey said. Here's one thing you have to understand. If you continue to lay down with the person who keeps going back to the other person, you don't realize at this point you also committing adultery.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to either, that person either has to repent and stop doing what they doing, or you got to hang it out as much as you want to, but you have to keep in mind God gives that person an opportunity to get out of that situation if that person is committing a sin against that marriage. Remember, he said, the two shall become one. So if one is committing a sin, they actually sinning against that marriage arrangement. And so that person has the right to get out of it. So it's up to them whether they want to keep forgiving and allow that person keep doing what they're doing, or get out of it to save their own soul, because that person ain't going to do what's right.
That is true. Now, that I do, Miss Mama, talk about when you do that, nothing good is going to come by you. And a lot of women I've seen, their lives be a hot mess because of some of the things and the things that they've done and messing with married men and all of that. Ooh, you know, that part is scary. So, now, there are some verses when we're talking about Bible verses, and it's about 12 Bible verses about adultery and the consequences. And one of them is the Proverbs 6:32-34, and it says, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He will destroy himself, does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach would not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And a lot of times, you know, when we talk about adultery, men and women react to it differently if they don't know and they find out. And I'm not seeing go and fight nobody or, you know, act out of character, because you also have to use your, you know, grace and use wisdom when you're dealing with these sensitive matters. And there's also, in regards to Proverbs 5:4-5, it says, in the end, she is bitter as a wingworm, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take of her soul. But the thing is, we got to do better. Tony, when we're talking about addressing this, and I know people be hurt, and these are some of the verses that I'm seeing, and many of them are in Proverbs, and that lets you know that it hurts people. How do you address that pain?
Many guys hit on it. Counseling is definitely needed for someone who's been hurt. It's a painful thing. I've seen people break down and cry because they can't believe someone did that to them. It rips them apart to the very core. And you have to tippy toed into bringing that person back to some form of reality. Because if you don't say the right thing, you can hurt somebody. You can hurt them even further and find out this person then committed suicide. So we have to deliver counseling on that matter. Walk into it slowly, find out what that person wants to do, don't be harsh, and try to bring that person back as if they are a friend. But we also mindful of the fact that that God's word does allow them a way to either forgive that person if they find it in their heart that they can forgive the other person in the marriage, or if they can muster up a strength, God gives them two things to do. They can either walk out of it because that person has sinned against the body of that marriage arrangement, or they feel that they can stay with it and work it out. But at certain points, that person also has to be mindful. You have to keep clear of this. Keep mindful of this. If that person keeps going back to doing those things, they're polluting you.
Uh-huh.
They are polluting you, and you have to keep that in mind because it can wreck you. and you have to distance yourself from being wrecked.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, and that just may be who that person is, and there's nothing that you can do about that if that is who they are. Now, I know our show is about to end. Lady T, you want to say some things to end the show? And I'll let Mike and Delano, whoever else is online, say their final thoughts. But Lady T, what do you want the listeners to know? Oh, I think she already left. Okay, Mike, anything you want to say to end the show?
Well, the best thing I can say right now is every day that we wake up and get out of bed, we should crucify the flesh. We crucify it every day. We fight against our flesh every day. After all, we understand that our flesh operates on the pleasure principle. And if we can live by the flesh, it's going to bring forth death in our lives. Be kind to one another, love one another. Most of all, don't judge. Help someone.
Thank you. Tony, you want to say something? Then I'll let Delano close
us out. Here's the thing about that. There's a scripture that says that those men who take the lead in the congregation has the right to judge those inside the congregation. Look it up, 1 Corinthians 5:12. To keep the body of Christ clean. There's another aspect of this. Keep that congregation clean is your responsibility because they're all in the body of Christ. And if a person is not repentant, you have to remove them from that body. So we have to keep that in mind. They have the authority to judge those inside the congregation. Don't believe me? Look up the scripture. So if it gets to that point, if it gets to that point and that person does not want to repent, the congregational elders or the leaders have to remove that person and make sure that sin don't spread to everyone else and they get the idea of thinking they can get away with it too.
Mm-hmm.
That should be our final resort if it has to be. But you want to refine that person in love first. But if they ain't got a repentant attitude, they don't care about what they did, you're going to have to remove that cancer from the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Blackwell, you want to close us out here?
You know, I'm 15 years of pastoral ministry, another 30 years of just ministry. I've had two cases where they didn't want to repent. They didn't want to work it out. And I did have to take steps to removing them out of position and offer them restoration. Told them, we'll do the restoration for 6 months. And if you can't feel like you need to come to restoration over the next 6 months, then you're no longer a member of the church.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
It was the hardest thing for me to do because nobody believed I would do it. But sometimes you have to stand up and tell people what you can't agree with. And if you're going to be the man of God who God called you to be, sometimes you just got to bite the bullet on it. And I will be the first one to say to you, nobody believed that I was going to put this member out. And I said, I'm not putting them out. I'm just offering them a way of repentance, and I'm offering them leadership, and I'm offering them a way to get it right with God. And they didn't want to do it. And seeing they didn't want to do it, and when I went to the leadership and to the brethren, we gave her a letter. Told her she, you know, had a letter, grew up, sent her a house, outlining everything in the letter, what she needed to do, and how we would go about handling it. And it to this day, I think about it, I was the talk of town. Let me just say this, and I know we got to go. But I was the talk of the town. He put her out of the church because she was having an affair. He put them out of the church because they wouldn't change. Well, what did Jesus do? Look at the scripture, read the scripture. It calls for us to do that. But I don't like dealing with that, and I'll be the first one to tell you I don't like dealing with it because it's so much drama. It kind of scarred me. but I had to do it, and that was the first time I had to look at the Bible and lean on His Word, and that's all we can do. Because if we're going to live it, we need to live it. If we're going to fake it, then we need to get out of it.
That's true. That is true. Well,
yes,
I want to thank you guys.
The first scripture is 1 Corinthians 5:12. If anybody want to look at it and read and listening on the radio, it's 1 Corinthians 5:12. It gives the leaders authorization by Christ to remove anyone from the Christian congregation who is going to cause the cancer to it. So that's the scripture he's pointing out.
Well, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for joining us here and joining me and helping with this show. I appreciate you guys. And, Mike, you gave a topic for next week, Secret Sin, but I like that one. It ain't no secret if it is. So until next week, remember, you got this. See you later. Thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.